Bruce Pratt is here with Sports Lit 101 and a very interesting baseball book that takes a look at the careers of a couple of guys who had to overcome more than their share of obstacles.
Yeah, I was unaware. I knew a little bit about Jack Quinn, but I didn't know much about Howard Emke. Book's called Comeback Pitchers, The Remarkable Careers of Howard Emke and Jack Quinn. Emke, I would have remembered that he gave up the first home run in Yankee Stadium, which was to Babe Ruth in a 4-1 loss for him. But the interesting thing about this book is this is a tale about two men that we should know more about. Both of them died very young. Both of them had lots to overcome, and they set different kinds of records. So what I thought we'd do is we'll do this over 2 weeks. We'll talk about Emke today, and a week from now we'll talk about Quinn, and then we'll have Lyle Spatz and or Steve Steinberg both join us at a later date. Now, just for people that may remember, we did a book a couple of years back called The Colonel and Hug, which was co-written by Spatz and Steinberg. And we also talked about Urban Shocker's Silent Hero Baseball's Golden Age, which came out in 2017. I think we talked about it in 2018, which was written by Steve Steinberg. These guys are legit. This is a long book, and it is a riveting book. You're not going to take this to the beach and knock it off in a couple of days because you have to keep stopping and thinking about it. Well, what's Howard Emke known for? Well, at one time, he was probably the most controversial pitcher to ever start a World Series. Connie Mack chose him in 1929. And this is a guy that was born in 1894, so you can see he was getting long in the tooth for a baseball pitcher. Howard Emke threw underhand, sidearm, and overhand, was not known as a blazer. His underhand pitch, his hand almost touched the ground, wasn't known as a strikeout artist, had spent much of the season, that particular season, on the, not so much the injured list, but on the getting extra rest list. And, you know, we think of a pitcher maybe getting 6 days rest. He'd get 14 or 15. He told Connie Mack that he had one great game left in his arm, and he would do that. And Mack pitched him against the Cubs, and he won against all kinds of, and the Cubs were a murderer's row in those days.
With not only a complete game, but set what was for many years the World Series record for strikeouts.
Yes, 13 strikeouts. Carl Erskine was the one that broke it with 14 later on. So where was Emke? He was from upstate New York. He was born in Silver Creek, New York, which is about 30 miles south of Buffalo. Went to the local high school. He was one of many kids. And like Quinn, who we'll talk about later, he was the parent, the child of immigrants. His father, he was the child of people whose parents had been. His grandparents came to this country from Prussia. His father had a mill and then later got into harness racing and all these kinds of things. And he grew up in upstate New York. And his brother Frank was a Wunderkind pitcher, went to Brown University, was famous for shutting out Lehigh in a game and pitching a no-hitter. And college baseball was not far behind professional baseball in those days, not like it is today. And there were lots of minor league games. But his mother got tired of the winters and the father's doing all the harness racing. And the older brother, Frank, had moved to L.A. So Howard moved to Los Angeles and finished high school there. Now, he was of Swedish and German extraction, but because he was blonde, they always called him the Nordic wizard or the Nordic wonder boy. You know, we talked about the Tony Lazzari book. They always called him the swarthy New Yorker. There was so much emphasis on the immigrant in American baseball, which is why Quinn, who will be the focus of next week, was born Johannes Pajkos, P-A-J-K-O-S, in Slovakia. But he took a last name of Quinn because Irish guys were ball players, right? So when Emke moved to L.A., he was a high school phenom, and right out of high school, he started pitching first in Virginia, in the Virginia League, and he went 14-0 in his first season. That'll get people's attention, and that was in 1908. And in 1909, he got moved up, and he had two starts for the Yankees. He won them both. That's Quinn, rather. Quinn had the two starts with the Yankees and won them both in the same year. Emke began in the Pacific Coast League, and he was compared early on to Walter Johnson, over whom he had a mastery during his career. He often beat the big train. And the thing was, at 20, he had some arm trouble. Things weren't going well. He's done. It's all over. He's 20 years old. He's done. So he spent a lot of time bouncing around. He landed with the Detroit Tigers at a time when Ty Cobb was the manager, and they hated each other. They not only fought verbally, they fought physically. Cobb was constantly belittling Emke, telling him he didn't have the guts to be a big league pitcher, calling him out, you know, in the media and the like. When he was finally traded away from Detroit, Emke was ecstatic. Of course, what did he do? He ended up with the really terrible Red Sox of the early 1920s. He and Quinn actually were on the same team. One year, the two of them won more than half of the team's games. And he labored for a while. He finally was reunited. He finally was reunited with Connie Mack. And I say reunited because his brother Frank had, when Howard was a youngster, had contacted Connie Mack and said, "Look, I'm telling you, you saw me pitch it for Brown. You know about this kid can really pitch." Mack wouldn't give him a tryout, but he did take him on later. He was a pitcher who bounced around, you know, and who had remarkable years. And he would have these years where he'd have like a 2.98 ERA and a 9-15 record because he played for a team that was scoring 1.6 runs.
Well, I'm looking at 1925. He went 9-20, was third in the league in strikeouts, had an ERA of 3.73, which led the Red Sox, and led the league with 22 complete games.
Yeah.
But lost 20.
So his overall record is 166-166. And here's a guy that if he played in any decent team would certainly have won more than 200 games. And also, you know, he would pitch. We talk about complete games. I believe in 1925, two of those complete games were 14 innings or longer. I don't remember which year that was. But Emke's life after baseball was a little better than Quinn's. He had that great moment in the World Series with the A's, and he became the guy responsible for all the tarps that are on the fields.
He's the inventor of the tarp.
Inventor of the tarp. He had seen a canvas tarp placed on a field out in the Pacific Coast League, called up Connie Mack and said, "I work for this company that makes these tarps." He had later started his own company. It's still called the Emke Tarpaulin Company today. When it was sold, the only way that the family would sell it was if the name wasn't changed. What's fascinating about this guy is he almost always took the high road when he was getting lambasted by the press or by other players or whatever. He was slight of build. He was often ill. And his weight would vary between 15 and 20 pounds in the course of a season, before or after the season. He worked hard to try and become bigger and stronger, but that wasn't his thing. He had an incredible wingspan, so when he threw sidearm to right-handers, they bailed. He had apparently a reach that exceeded that of Jack Johnson.
Wow.
He was 6'3", about 190 pounds, and could throw the ball from any angle. He was less effective over the top, but he would come over the top every once in a while just after he'd done a little chin music on somebody. He was accused of being a bit of a headhunter. But, you know, the question is, when you're throwing all that junk, that's a different kind of thing.
He led the league and hit batsmen, I think it said, 5 years in a row.
5 years in a row, he did, because he wasn't afraid to pitch inside. And he only ever, as far as I know, hit one player in the head. And that player was hurt for a while, but was able to.
He still holds the American League record for the fewest hits given up over a two-game span. He had a no-hitter and followed it up with a one-hitter.
With a one-hitter, yeah. And the one-hitter was controversial because it probably should have been an error. And it was the opposing team's scorer. And he refused at the time, and everybody in the press box was saying, "Come on, no one makes that play." And he later—I forget the guy's name—but he later admitted, I probably should have ruled that an error. That was an impossible play to make. So he would have pitched back-to-back no-hitters.
Now, if you think the games are too long today, Howard Emke was your man. August of 1920, he shut out the Yankees 1-0, struck out 8, and the game lasted 1 hour and 13 minutes.
Yes, and it caused Ben Johnson to demand that games be played within 2 hours. He was the commissioner of baseball. He said there was no reason for a game to last more than 2 hours. I remember seeing a Yankees-Indians game when I was a kid. Mel Allen and Red Barber on the call when Red said, well, if that's a double play, we're out of here in under 2 hours. And it was indeed. Yogi Berra, I believe, hit into a double play, and the game was over. I think the Indians won 1-0. I don't remember all those details. But, yeah, and because they pitched, they got the ball, and they towed the rubber, and they threw back. The other thing Emke used to do to really, really scare the hell out of right-handed hitters is he would purposely put his foot as far over to the third base side of the rubber as he could. So that when that pitch came in, and he could throw sidearm and make the ball drop. He could throw sidearm and make the ball rise. He could make it cut away. Really, had he been a healthier guy, who knows what he might have done. His life intersects with Quinn when they're together on the Red Sox. That's the primary time they intersect. They will again later with the Athletics. Quinn will go on to pitch until he's 47 years old in the major leagues. He's the oldest person to finish a World Series game, the oldest person to start a World Series game, and until Jamie Moyer passed him, the oldest person to win a major league game. Quinn grew up real poor. Emke didn't. He was in the coal country of Pennsylvania, and was the opposite, a fitness freak, always in great shape, and had a tragedy happen in his life, and it wasn't good after that. Right. So we'll get to Jack Quinn next time, and then we'll get the authors to put it all together for us.
That sounds great. Thank you, Bruce.